Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
G'day guys, welcome back to the Rugby League Guru Podcast. Grand final on Sunday and there are a heap of storylines to touch on. We touched on one earlier today about Nathan Cleary chasing his second Clive Churchill Melanie's second premiership win in a row. It would really elevate him to a new level. We were lucky enough to sit down with Nathan about 3 weeks after the 2021 grand final at the end of last year. Sit down and spoke for about an hour or so. He did a dream team for us. He named his best 1-13 of all time in his opinion. But we also sat down and spoke about his career so far, and we especially spoke about the difference between the 2020 grand final and the mindset of the Penrith Panthers then compared to 2021. There's an old saying, you got to lose one to win one, and as much as we didn't talk about that, you can tell how many lessons that Nath learned from that first grand final and grand final week in particular too. Took it into his second grand final. I think this Penrith Panthers side, they're going to be super confident going to this grand final with all that experience, and that is part of one of the bits of this grand final that has me a little bit worried about the Parramatta Eels, that they are lacking grand final experience coming into this one. Nath also touches on the low points of the 2020 grand final, throwing the intercept to Vunivalu, who ran the length to score. Talks about 2020 at the end of the season. He'd done just about everything in the game except for lift a trophy, and he was under more pressure than ever. How he dealt with that, how he deals with the constant circus of being Ivan Cleary's son, and how people try and use that as an excuse for his success or for the compliments that he receives. He also touches on the importance of Api Kurosawa and Isaiah Yeo. It's a really interesting chat from a year or so ago. Some of you might have already listened to this in the past. If so, I would have a listen to it and just take into context what he has achieved since then, because he does talk about at one point how the Penrith Panthers, they know the job isn't done. They've got a lot more to achieve, and they've got a lot more that they want to achieve. They can definitely tick a lot of boxes this Sunday, and if they're going to, Nath, he's going to have to be at his very best once again. The club that might have been stoked you were stuck in Queensland just quietly.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Mate, take me back a few weeks ago, grand final night. We'll start from there and we'll work backwards. Whenever I talk to halfbacks in particular, I find that when that siren goes at the end of the game, it's more of a relief than a jubilation sort of thing, because you're under so much pressure. Explain to me, you know, when that siren went, what was the emotions that you felt?
Oh, yeah, it's kind of hard to put into words, I think. You're definitely right about the relief thing. You know, it's probably not something you think about too much, but, yeah, it was definitely a relief, especially after the way last year went. We obviously fell one short and probably left our worst game of the year for the grand final. And, you know, there is a lot of pressure, especially around the halfback. So when you finally get it done, it's just like, wow, it's actually happened. But obviously a lot of jubilation as well. Just facing your teammates, being out celebrated with them was... yeah, it's something I'll never forget. And there was a few tears shed. It's a very emotional moment because, you know, you know how hard you work for it and how much you've wanted it, especially for me since I was a little kid. And I guess sharing that with Dad too made it a little bit more special. And, it was pretty amazing.
That was going to be my next question. I remember the day after the grand final, I sat down with Kempy and we just sat there and thought, how unbelievable is it that all of this lines up to when father and son win the premiership and he hands you a Clive Churchill? I mean, as far as father and sons go, without getting too romanticised, it's an unbelievable moment.
Yeah, we still have to pinch ourselves over that as well. It's, we've always dreamt of it, but for it to actually come true and the way it worked out was just, yeah, it's just crazy. And it still doesn't even feel real for me or Dad at the moment. We still sit back and talk about it. You know, we've been able to share these experiences with our family now back here, sort of extended family. So, you know, it's been cool to relive that. And, you know, we've got a great support system around us. And, yeah, just very grateful to be able to do that and very blessed.
I hear they gave you a dodgy Clive too. What's doing there?
Yeah, they gave me one that had Sydney engraved on it. So they kind of took it back straight away and got it all sorted out. But I've got it back now, so it's all good.
Did you even realise?
I had no idea. I didn't think you would. I was still pumped, yeah. I didn't care. I was like, just let me keep this one. But, yeah, they got it all sorted, so it's all sweet.
That's unreal. Mate, you mentioned, obviously, 2020, and I remember looking back at your season at the end, you know, at around Christmas time and looking back going, fuck, this bloke, he lost four games of football this year. He didn't win a premiership. He didn't win a State of Origin Shield. You missed out on a Dally M by a bee's dick. I just remember thinking it might be the most successful season without actually coming home with anything. And, I mean, you're under an absolute heap of scrutiny, and it's crazy to think that you can lose four games of football in a calendar year and be under as much pressure as you were. I mean, was there a bit of head noise around that off season? What sort of a state were you in?
To be honest, like, I was actually in a pretty good state. Obviously, the way things went weren't the way I wanted it to, and you know, I knew I had to go back and work harder and try and improve and get better to win those games. But you know, I knew that I couldn't change those results, and you know, just dwelling on that and whinging about it or being a victim was going to get me nowhere. So I knew I had to work hard to try and get better and improve. And funny you mentioned that, this year has been so different to what last year was. Last year, leaning into that final series, it felt like everything was going right. Everything was falling into place. We're playing good footy. We didn't have any injuries. And then, yeah, we just didn't get it done on the big day, which is ultimately what you're judged on. It's what you play the game for. So this year, you know, we had ups and downs in form. We had a lot of injuries. But, yeah, we just found a way on the day to win it. And, you know, it's... I guess that's history now. And obviously the Origin Series was a really good thing to be part of this year too. Those first two games were, what a team. I was very lucky to be a part of that back line and forward pack, and the way they played made my job a lot easier. So, been very lucky this year, and looking back on it now, it's still pretty crazy how it's gone.
Looking in the rearview mirror once again, obviously 2020, you climbed the mountain, you had to reclimb it this year. Was the injury after Origin maybe a little bit of a blessing in disguise for you, that you just got to have a little bit of a break before the finals kicked off?
Yeah, I think it wasn't the worst thing. You know, it ends up being a pretty long year if you play a full Origin series and then go deep into the finals. So I think looking back on it now, you know, it probably wasn't the worst thing, especially because we had to move up to Queensland during that time as well. And, you know, it was just a bit different. So I got to sit back and reflect on how the year had gone so far and how we could get better, how I could get better. And, you know, that was more a mental sort of thing, not so much physically. So, yeah, it was kind of good. You know, you never really want to get injured or deal with those things. But, you know, looking back on it now, it was probably not a bad thing.
Now, I'm not going to hide away from it. I thought the week leading into the Melbourne Storm game, I remember sitting there with Isaac John in their studios and us talking about that game. And honestly, we couldn't find a way that you boys would win that game of football. I look back now and it just seems ridiculous. But I remember at the time, I didn't have a single conversation that week about you guys beating that side. I look back at your team that won in 91, and you know they had to beat the Canberra Raiders in the grand final the second year. And I sort of looked at the Melbourne Storm as your sort of Canberra Raiders. What was your confidence sort of going into that game?
To be honest, I think that was probably the most confident we'd been throughout the whole final series for that game. You know, it was weird, but we kind of liked being in the position where, you know, people were riding us off and were underdogs, and, you know, we felt like we had nothing to lose. But we also felt like if we played the way we wanted to, we'd be a red-hot crack to win. And, you know, that probably didn't involve playing the pretty footy that, you know, was what we were doing at the start of the year with, you know, the free-flying attack and stuff like that. Just a different game in the finals, and especially against a team like Melbourne, we knew we had to play tough and save tries, and you know, we knew we'd find a couple in there somewhere and just have to defend well. So you know, it was a weird feeling, but yeah, I think throughout that week we were quietly pretty confident, and you know, we'd kind of been looking forward to that game since the grand final the year before. So yeah, we knew we were going to have to beat them at some stage in the finals to be able to win one. So yeah, it came a week earlier than probably what most people thought, but yeah, we felt pretty good about ourselves, and You know, Melbourne Storm are a great side, but you know, we knew it was going to be an absolute war, and that it was.
You mentioned that you were just going to find tries in that game. For me, I think one of the highlights of the season for me was you jumping into dummy half and putting a kick out to Stephen Crichton. And I noticed two or three plays before that, you gave him a bit of a look. He was on about the tram line and he sort of shifted out. Was that something that you guys had seen during the week? How did that one come about?
That was kind of held in the back pocket since it was pretty early on in the year. I remember Teddy did it, so it's probably a fair bit of credit has to go to Teddy on that one. He just did it at the end of a game and it came off, and you know, Dad told me about it the next day, and he's like, "Did you see that last night?" And I was like, "Yeah." He's like, "I reckon we could do it." And we kind of just held it in the bank, didn't talk about it too much, and then I think I started practicing it when I was out injured, just did a couple, and thought, you know, we might need it. Somewhere down the track, and it was kind of discussed. We versed them a couple of weeks before the semis, and a few of us were out, and they were like, "Oh, should we do it this week?" And we're like, "No, we'll hold on to it. We'll probably verse them again in a bigger game," and then. We fiddled around with it the week before the Melbourne game, just how we're going to set it up and all that. And yeah, it just kind of all fell into place. You know, I called it. It probably was a bit different. We were going to try to do it off a tap, but I think it was a turnover. We just ended up in the right spot and, you know, I put the call out, and then I got the dummy half. I looked up and Foxy took it a step in, and that's when I kind of knew it was on. So yeah, the way that worked out was just, yeah, it's pretty crazy. You never really, you'd love to set a place, always work like that, but. Yeah, especially it's so early in a game, a massive game against Melbourne, who are notoriously great starters. It was a great way to start, and I guess it was kind of a cheap way to break down their defence, which is usually so stout.
If it would have been on the left wing, would you have had the balls to do it as a right footer?
No, we kind of always set it up that it was going to be on the right. So just the way that Foxy defends and all that, you know, I always knew that I was going to be on to the right.
Mate, not a bad guy to kick the ball to, just quietly, Stephen Crichton. One of the best in the air, and I thought he was the most underrated guy in your finals run by a country mile. There was literally a moment in every game that I thought if he wasn't in the position he was in, you don't win that game. There was a couple of tackles against Melbourne. There was the try we just mentioned. There was the intercept against Parramatta, and then, of course, the intercept in the grand final. A guy like him, I remember watching him play in reserve grade and sort of thinking he's just got something different about him. There's just things that he can do that others can't. How would you describe Stephen Crichton to me?
Yeah, he was the MVP of the finals for me. You mentioned some of the plays he came up with were absolutely ridiculous. And, you know, he does a lot of good things with the ball. I think his carries throughout the final series were amazing, especially coming out of yardage. But some of his defensive plays were unbelievable, and they were what won us games. But now, the best way to describe him, he's just an athletic freak, and you know, he works so hard as well. You know, I think there's a lot of people with that sort of talent that sort of could just rely on talent to get them through, but he's constantly working hard at his game. And you know, he'll tell you as well that that intercept he took in the grand final was it was a lot of instinct, but he's actually practiced that so many times. So he's a massive asset to our team, and I thought the bigger the game got, the more he stood up, and yeah, he was incredible.
Let's take me back to that grand final week, 2021. Tell me what changed from Nathan Cleary in 2020, obviously your first grand final. What did you learn from that first grand final week that you took into the second?
I was just trying to stay present. I think that's probably the biggest motto I've tried to live by this year. And, you know, probably the biggest regret I had out of last year's grand final, not so much the week, but just the game itself. You know, a few things didn't go right in that first half, and obviously the intercept being the most pinnacle one, but it wasn't so much the intercept I was disappointed with. It was the way I sort of reacted to it after it, and I was worried too much about that rather than worrying about each play at a time and trying to get back into the game. So I knew coming into this week, I wanted to just soak up the week and take it one day at a time. I knew each training session was going to be important, and each day was important. So I just wanted to stay present. Try and do that in the grand final too. You know, no game's ever going to be perfect, so you can't, you know, if something doesn't go right, if you make a mistake or anything like that, you can't dwell on that too much. You can't change it, and you know, you just got to focus on what you can do next to bend the game.
Obviously, the Panthers, their defense during that final series, one of the hallmarks of it, your kicking game as well, incredibly important. I started to notice more and more you doing those bending sort of grubbers into the in goal, sort of aiming at the sticks. And it made me think back to a tape that I saw about 2.5 years ago of you working on those kicks with Andrew Johns. You've probably done a million of these sessions, but it was a little bit of content that the New South Wales Rugby League put out. And I sort of remember you practicing those, and you know, with all due respect, you weren't nailing them like you are now. Tell me about those sessions with Joey and the impact that that's had on you.
It's been massive. You know, those kind of sessions, I was like almost more nervous for those than I was for a game, because it was my idol, someone I've looked up to and watched my whole life, and now I'm doing one-on-one kicking with him. Like, it's kind of a pinch yourself moment, and you know, it's something that I'm very grateful for, that he's been able to help me, and he has played a massive role in me developing as a player. He's constantly, you know, texting me and calling me and just giving me tips here and there. So I'm very grateful for him, and to be able to do something like that, like, as a kid, I never would have thought that would have been able to happen. And I've been very lucky with the people around me that have been able to help me, and Joey's included in that.
I was talking to Jackson Hastings the other day, and he mentioned that a session he did with Joey, and he said that he was the same. He was so nervous about it. Then he got there, and he was trying to do his best, and he wasn't really hitting the mark, and Joey had his wallet, his phone in his pocket, sunglasses on, thongs on, and he was nailing everything, looking at him going, "What's wrong with you?" He just said it was the most frustrating thing in the world.
Yeah, Joey's absolutely freak like that. Whenever he gets the footy in his hand, he's always doing something crazy, so it's pretty hard to match sometimes.
Mate, tell me about the impact of James Maloney on you. Obviously, a guy that, as you came into first grade and even before you came into grade, he just went from club to club, winning. I imagine you would have had a little bit to do with him when he was at the Warriors in the early days under your dad. Tell me the impact that he had once he arrived at the Penrith Panthers.
I can't speak highly enough for what Jimmy was like for me, and not only me, but also probably Jerome and the rest of the young guys in the group. It's a pretty crazy story. Like, I looked up to Jimmy when he was at the Warriors. You know, I'd go into training and watch them train, and obviously support them pretty hard when I was a young fella. So then to be able to reunited with him, actually playing alongside him, was that's another crazy moment for me. Like, all these things, when you sort of look back on them and put in perspective, it's just like, how has this even happened? And again, very grateful that I got to learn off him. Probably one regret I have is not being more successful with him. But, you know, we were lucky enough to win two Origin series together. And, you know, for the Panthers, I think it was more so just his mentorship. And he sort of put us in a position and to kind of, I guess, build and become a club that was more successful and could win games. Because, you know, when you look at Jimmy, you just know that he's a winner. Just the stuff he does on the field, it's always for the best of the team and to win. So, you know, we learned a lot of him. And forever grateful for what he's done for me. And, you know, he was super just good with the young guys too. Like, he wanted everyone to just succeed and get better, and he was always very helpful. So yeah, it's been great to see Jimmy go over there, and, you know, it would have been nice to see him win the grand final. But again, you know, it just shows his his influence on people around him to create a successful club.
Mate, you mentioned the influence that he had on yourself and Jerome. I think we all know the storyline of yourself and Jerome coming through the juniors and whatnot. I want to know about the impact that Appy Curaçao's had on you, because, you know, I still remember 2 years ago when he signed with the Bulldogs, and then the next morning it broke that he was going to the Penrith Panthers. And I remember posting on Instagram that this could be, you know, the missing jigsaw piece for the Penrith Panthers. And, you know, I didn't even overly believe it as much as how it's come true. He has just been incredible for the club, but I think more importantly for you. Tell me about Appy.
Yeah, I still see Appy as someone that's super underrated as a player. Not only that, but as a leader as well. An on-field leader, he's very inspirational. He's probably one of the toughest guys I've ever played with. He just the work he gets through and how he plays through injuries and stuff like that, you just want to play well with him, because, you know, you know that he's putting his best foot forward every week. And, you know, he's super crafty, but he's not a player that needs to be in the spotlight or feels like he needs to be in the spotlight. He's constantly doing things for other people, and that's what everyone loves about Appy. I know he's very highly valued amongst our team, and, you know, everyone absolutely loves him. So, you know, I think he's been a massive influence for me. Also, just the way he controls the forwards and his leadership on the field, but then he gets me the ball when I need it, and yeah, I've absolutely loved playing with him, and I think he's an absolute beast.
Another guy that's had a big influence on your rise over the last few years is Isaiah Yeo. If you would have said to me 5 years ago he'd be playing for the Kangaroos, I wouldn't be able to guess what position it would have been. It would have been either second row, centre. I wouldn't have guessed as a 13 the the improvement in his skill set has been unbelievable. To think that now I have him as the best 13 in our game right now. How important is he to your game?
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out of pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Yeah, he's unbelievable for my game. I think he helps me so much, and he kind of, unlocks me to the rest of the team. He's usually the link man, and as you say, you know, he was a great player when he first came in the first grade, but he couldn't kind of nail down a spot, and move into the middle has been, an absolute godsend for him. He's taken it to the next level, and again, you know, I think he's underrated as a player until you actually get to play with him and realise what he does and how smart he is footy-wise. Me and him are constantly bouncing off each other about what we should be doing and whatnot, and you know, his ball playing is unbelievable. But not only that, he can then show the ball and come off both feet. And I just think he's a great player, and he's probably the most important player in our team most weeks.
I'd answer my next question, but gun to your head, no fence sitting here. You got to pick Appy or Yo to play with for the rest of your career. Which one are you taking?
Jeez, you can't do that to me. I don't know. I'll probably say.
Tell the other, don't worry. Yeah,
I'd probably say Yoey. Yeah. I do love Uppy though.
No, that's sort of what I was expecting, but I'm glad you actually answered. That's good. Now, mate, obviously you are the son of the coach. There's been a lot of shit thrown around as far as that goes. I remember when you did win the premiership, people saying, oh, he's only the captain because he's the coach's son. And I just sat there and went, fuck. The kid's lost a handful of games in 2 years. Like, how do you sort of, is it just a matter of blocking all that sort of stuff out for you?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, that's something that I've had to work hard at as well. Probably when I first came into first grade, I wasn't real good at, dealing with all that sort of added criticism and stuff people were saying. And, I probably read every comment on social media and whatnot. And now I've kind of, refined back from that. I think I'm in a much better place mentally, and you sort of learn who to listen to and who to take advice from, and who's there to help you get better, not just sort of try and drag you down. So I'm very lucky with the people I've got around me, and it makes it easy for me to sort of block out those people that have other stuff to say.
I mentioned earlier that halfbacks, when they win premierships, it's more of a relief feeling. You've done it with potentially 10 or 12 years still left in your career. What's the outlook now? Do you look at football a little bit differently now that you've got that monkey on the back? Do you feel like there's a bit more freedom to your game?
Not really. You know, it's obviously nice to win one, at a young age and all that. But, I'm just prepared to keep getting better. And, I don't think I really see an end game for me. I just want to stay present in the moment, enjoy each moment and try and get better and improve each day. And, that's the drive for me and the rest of the group is, we're probably not content with where we're at. We know there's still a long way to go for us as players, but also as a group. And, it's a special thing to be a part of. And, there's definitely a lot of motivation there to keep moving forward.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.